Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed.
Hey.
Good to have you along. And our special guest today, Ash Hampton. Good to have you aboard.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about, got a great show. So we've got some good stuff to talk about and this propagandizing in our schools, which aggravates very near and dear to my heart that you're bringing this story forward. So I'm glad to see it. But let's take care of a little business. Our sponsor this half hour is Burroughs Roadhouse, 810-227-6000. If you're looking for something to do tonight, see a comedy show, get some dinner, try Burroughs Roadhouse out in West Brighton, 5311 Brighton Road. That's the west side of Brighton. And you can go to burroughs-roadhouse.com. Tonight they have Carlos Valencia. Is that today, the 25th? Yes, it is already. Carlos Valencia is really funny. And so check them out. They've got great food. They've got great ambiance. It's one of those destination restaurants. So really give them a check out. 810-227-6000. Make a reservation if you want to see the comedy because they do sell out. And get your dinner ahead of time. So do your dinner before the show because they only do appetizers during the actual show itself. But great prices, great food, and a great atmosphere. Burroughs Roadhouse, 810-227-6000. Okay, well, gentlemen, Ash, I kind of, our buddy Rob, mutual friend on Facebook, Rob, said, hey, you got to get hold of this Ash guy because he's had a problem in Trenton schools, of all places. Now, I'm a Downriver guy. I graduated from Riverview. And when I read your story, I was like, no way, you know, because our morning show guy, which is Steve Gruber, was talking about this with a school out in Fowlerville or somewhere where they had the same problem, an anti-Trump teacher kind of pushing their agenda on students, which is just wrong, right? I think we can all agree that it's just totally.
Is that a rhetorical question? Is that a trick question?
Yes. And so it's the Trenton Middle School, and it's Boyd Arthur's Middle School, right? Why don't you tell us what happened, and let's get caught up this way on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So my son last week walks into his class, and he's sitting there, and he looks up at the projector, and on the projector there's an article that reads, "Why Doesn't Trump Care? We Can See He's Lying," which absolutely baffled me as a parent. So my son, you know, who happens to be a little bit into politics and enjoys it, snapped a picture of it, brought it home to me, and I could not believe what was within that article. It was just complete propaganda from the left and indoctrination of our children and their thought.
Yeah, and you know what? I hate to say I told you so, but I knew this was happening somewhere. And I double-check my own son in Plymouth Canton schools all the time because I've heard some rumors about Plymouth Canton schools. And thus far, I have not had any teacher so far who is, if they're anti-Trump or anti-Republican or whatever, I've not run into them yet. They've been very good about not bringing that into the classroom, but I'm like always checking. And I would encourage all parents, man, if you're not asking your kid what's going on in social studies or civics or current events, you should be asking them because you know what? That's where it'll come out.
You mean they were doing indoctrination in the public indoctrination center?
Oh, absolutely they were. And, you know, this is exactly what's happening within our school system so often. And I think what bothered me the most was this was an art class. This wasn't a government right. class. This wasn't a civics class. There was no lecture. There was no context behind what was on the screen. This was simply something put up as a subliminal message to our children that our president is a liar. Instead of teaching, you know, the things that matter so much to someone like me who's a true patriot, you know, to love your country and honor the system and the laws that we have, that's not what's happening here. Now they're teaching them that it's okay to hate your president when we should be teaching them to respect the office, even if you don't respect the man in it.
Yeah. So they weren't deconstructing the font or the presentation or the
graphics on
yes, the graphics, the artwork. No.
Yeah, so
no.
They didn't even use that at all as part of the class.
Wasn't part of the class. It was simply
she
up
just
there.
Just left it up there. And now granted, teacher's got her own right at lunch hour, she wants to get on her computer and do whatever. But you know what, if you're that ignorant to use it to leave it up on the projector, right? I'm not buying it as a mistake. I'm sorry.
I'm not neither. And so I finally heard back from the superintendent of schools yesterday, actually.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, he told me basically that at the end of their findings and their investigation that it was a simple mistake and that they took corrective action by teaching the teacher how not to hook your projector up to your computer. Baloney.
I made a simple mistake once, and I ended up in sensitivity training.
Here's the thing, and this is what we're not thinking of, and this is something that I brought up to the superintendent. This is a public school's computer. Why does the teacher have the right to be doing anything political or anything on her own agenda on a piece of public property, something that my tax dollars pay for? And we're not talking about that. That's not part of this
good
conversation.
Point.
But the reality is if I go into my office and I start looking up things that I shouldn't be on my work computer, I'll be fired.
Right.
I'll be gone. They'll boot me.
Right.
And, you know, no repercussions to the teacher here. It's simply a mistake and they want it to go under. So I asked the superintendent, I said, hey, listen, you know, you said you're putting out this memorandum to all staff to advise them not to have things like this on the board. Can I get a copy of that? He said, absolutely not. So I can't even see the writing. So I said, so I have to take your word for it that you're going to handle this. And he goes, yeah. So, you know, where's the answers to the people that pay the paychecks to that fund the public schools? There's no accountability there whatsoever.
Right. So now, let's put this little call out because, you know what, I'm one of these people who likes to call people out and jerk their chain a little bit. Laura Van Noord. Right, was the teacher, the art teacher.
Yep.
Now, did you get a chance to talk to her at all or just went right to the...
Not at all. I went right to the administrator. I talked to the principal. She seemed to show some concern with things that are appropriate or not appropriate in the classroom. But at the end of the day, you know, the teacher never reached out to me. Her son did reach out to me on a Facebook message asking to meet me somewhere. But, she's never reached out to me. Oh, yeah, because I'm going to that meeting, right?
Right. So was he being rude or was he just...
No, he was actually, you know, I mean, he did, you know, conduct himself accordingly in the message. But the whole idea is, why do I need to go speak to her son to clear this matter up in a bar or for a cup of coffee? That's just not what I'm going to do here. I'm going to take it through the process, through the administration.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be onto the school board because obviously the superintendent didn't care about what I had to say.
So Laura Van Noord was the teacher and the principal's name?
The principal's name is Miss O'Connor.
Miss O'Connor. Okay. So you took it to the next step to her and didn't really get any satisfaction. And then you went to the superintendent whose name is?
I don't remember his name exactly because it's one of those ones that are hard to pronounce.
Derek,
but at the end of the day.
Can you pull up superintendent of Trenton Schools for us? I've got my microphone because there's three of us in here. I'm a little discombobulated having three folks in here. But I went and I went to the website that you were talking about, and you got pictures of it on the Facebook. And it's Quora.com, Q-U-O-R-A, which is obviously, from everything I saw, kind of a liberal website. So, big surprise, the teacher's liberal and on her lunch break. And I'm kind of a little different from you. It's lunch break. You want to look at something on a computer. As long as it's not porn, I'm okay with current events, whatever, if you're an anti-Trump teacher. But doggone it, don't bring it on the students. It's none of your bloody business to tell those students your political bent.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. It's complete indoctrination of our children,
yeah.
And it's subliminal messaging. They're no longer caring about teaching our kids for free thought. They're not teaching them to think freely for themselves, come up with their own opinions. They're jamming their opinions down these kids' throat, and which is what's going on with the climate. This is why you have so many millennials that are discombobulated with the current climate.
That's exactly right. So those people who are thinking, come on, it was a mistake, or it's a one-off, whatever. No, it's not a one-off. This has been happening for decades now, and you hit it right on the head. These snowflakes, these safe space craving retards that we call millennials are sitting in their colleges and asking for the most stupid and inane things because, my feelings are hurt. You know, teach people facts and you won't be worried about your feelings so much. This is what's happening to America. Doggone it. Our school, you know what, people? This is part of the process when we allowed our school boards to be elected over by liberals, emotional weenies, I'm sorry, whatever you want to call them, this is the result. And it's because we did not do our job as parents, as conservatives, as common sense people, to put people in the office at the school board level and make sure that we're hiring the right people. A school board should be looking at every teacher they hire, every principal they hire, and say, hey, let's get a little balance in there. You know, you shouldn't be 90% of teachers shouldn't be liberal. I'm sorry. Does that make any sense?
But you have the unions. You have the unions backing them up. So now they believe that if they don't toe the line and they don't follow the liberal agenda, they're out of there, right? You know, I mean, the liberals tend to, you know, base everything based on their union. And that's their thought. So now these teachers are being basically led into herds of sheep themselves. Instead of teaching free thought, now they're falling in line. And now they're teaching and pushing that message onto our children.
Okay. So Rodney Wakeham is the Trenton Public Schools superintendent. Now, I'm going to tell all of our listeners downriver, if you got kids going to the Trenton schools, you know, just give them a quick phone call or send them an email. I'm sure it's on the webpage. You can send them an email and just say, hey, don't appreciate it. Like to know what you're going to do about it. And don't just sweep it under the rug, because that's what it sounds like to me. If they're not showing you the school policy, hello, this is America. This is called FOIA, if nothing else. Show us what you're doing about it. What is the new procedure?
You know, absolutely. What I mean? Absolutely. And he seems so much more in tune with protecting the teacher. And you know, I got to put this out there publicly. I've never been after trying to get the teacher fired. I've not asked for her to be reprimanded in a serious fashion. I've simply asked for us to change the process and change the way we're allowing our teachers to indoctrinate our children. And so far, you know, the corrective actions are all geared towards the teacher instead of the institution as a whole and the way that they conduct themselves.
And Right. You wanted to follow up and find out if that corrective action actually had occurred. And you were told, no, there's no way you could be copied on that.
Yeah, he said his exact words when I said, can I get that in writing? Can I get a copy of that memorandum? He said, absolutely not. And so I said, so I have to take your word for it. Why can I not? He said that you don't work for me and you're not one of my faculty. And if they go against what I say, then they're going against their administrator, which would not be wise, which I get. But still, there's no real resolution there. It's basically, trust me that I've taken care of it. Let's sweep it under the rug. And then they can continue on with their messaging to our children.
Has this guy not heard of FOIA? I mean, it's not closed. It's not the Defense Intelligence Subcommittee, you know?
The thing. If it's something in her this is going down in your permanent record. If it's in her personal file, understandable.
Yeah.
That's not the solution. The solution should be a memorandum, publicly memorandum, to the entire staff of the school saying, listen, stop brainwashing the kids. Keep your political views to yourself. It's up to the child to learn and pick himself or with the conjunction of his family. It's not the school's job to be telling us you should be a Republican or a parole Barack Obama or anti-Trumper or whatever else. That's none of your business. Don't be teaching that.
Did either of you ever encounter something like this when you were in high school?
No, I never
did. On the collegiate level, yeah, absolutely. But in high school, no. You know, they did teach both sides. Now, I can say that in my high school, you know, we spent a little bit more time in American government, being from River Rouge, Michigan, on, you know, maybe the Civil War than we did on some of the other parts or highlights of American history as a whole. But no, never nothing like this. This is out of control.
I was in high school. You know, I told you I was in private high school in Monroe. And, I remember this. I remember being told what a great politician Birch Bayh was, and some of the other Democratic instructors, especially when I was in political science, some of those classes.
Yeah. But a private school.
Yes, private school. But it never occurred to me to go to my folks and say, hey, I'm being indoctrinated, because these were the people that were in charge of my instruction, you know?
Yeah, well kids nowadays are pretty savvy. You know what I mean? You're not getting away from it. It's all over the place.
No, and you're not. And I guess the thing here and the thing that I had the most problem with was this wasn't even in a civics or a social studies setting. There was no context. There was no this side, that side, where do you fall? There was no open discussion. It was simply a message on the board for all the kids to read and walk out of that classroom going, my president's a liar. And that's not what we should be teaching. We should be teaching to stand up, salute our flag, have faith in those that put their lives on the line for this country, and to think freely for themselves. That's the beauty of a free nation.
Yeah. The problem is, here's a lost teachable moment, because this teacher should have, by all rights, the administrator should come in, maybe sat with the teacher. I don't want her to lose her job. Okay. What I would say is she should say, children, I made a mistake. I left my personal opinions up on the projector, and I'm sorry that you saw that. Pay no attention to that's just my personal opinion. I'm not trying. You know, if I was a teacher, I would have done that, because I would have solved it on the spot. I wouldn't want it to go to the principal or superintendent. Yeah. I would have said, Mr. Hampton, I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize to the class. You can come in with me if you want. I would have done whatever to take, you know what, take ownership of what you did is what I'm asking that teacher to do. Yet, I'm not asking for even a huge apology. Just say, I made a mistake, and it won't happen again. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Change the way you conduct yourself within the classroom.
Yes.
Teach our children. That's all I'm asking. I want my child to have a great education. And our public schools have the opportunity to do that. Unfortunately, it's just not what's happening so often.
Yeah, Ash, are you pursuing this further to a school board meeting, or?
That's the next step. So I did, hold off on my thoughts there and wanted to give the superintendent time to come up with his conclusion. But when he had called me and said, hey, I'll be back with you in touch with you in a couple days, I said, okay, no problem. And I patiently waited. I didn't take to the air any more than that. I didn't talk any more than that. And I gave him a chance to conclude his investigation and come back to me. And when he did, it was exactly what I expected. It was basically, she made a mistake. Well, it's not a mistake. And, you know, a projector screen takes up a pretty large portion of a wall, and it's lit. So you can see that it's on. You know that it's on, and you can easily see the words on it.
Yeah. I would not be totally satisfied unless there was a memorandum that went out to every school teacher in the district saying, you know what? This was wrong. If it was a mistake, accidental or otherwise, This is a no-no. Don't be doing this to our children.
I think this is every bit as wrong as if there had been some obscene material up there. I frankly do. Suppose there had been, like, oh, I didn't notice it the whole time. No, this was intentional.
Right.
And thus, there needs to be something a little bit more than just a memorandum. There needs to be, the other teachers need to see the seriousness of the offense. It really is a serious offense, I believe.
Right. Let's take a quick call from Jenny in Brownstown. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Well, I'm really sorry about this, what's happening, and the best I can do is pray about it and pray for you. And I hope that, you know, I'm sorry that's not quite good enough, but that's what I can do anyway.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
This is not my high school. This is not how I come up in high school, that's for sure. And I would like to say this. Very quickly, liberals just totally run on emotion, and even in the Bible and everything, it teaches you if you run on emotion, you're going to be in trouble every time. Don't trust your emotions for everything.
Yeah. Use a little logic. When it comes to government, when it comes to business, you can't run on emotion. And doggone it, that's what these. I was watching
that's
Fox the other day, and they had a lawyer, right? And the lawyer was talking about using emotion, and I'm thinking to myself, can you listen to what you just said, sir? You're talking about the law. The emotion's got nothing to do with it. It's the law. It's business. It's policy
logic.
And procedure.
Logic.
Leave it to the logic and take that part out. Doggone it. Just use a little common sense. It just drives me crazy. So we'll end this part here anyways and say, you know what, folks, if you're in Trenton, if you've got kids in Trenton schools, this is probably not the only teacher with this thought process in her head. And God knows what they're doing, maybe at the high school level or anything else in a civics class. I'd like to sit in on a civics class and see what they're teaching. You know
what
I mean?
Absolutely.
Because you know what? They're supposed to be teaching the policies and procedures and the rules and let the children figure it out for themselves once they get the facts from both sides. And if you're going to give one side, give the other side. You know what I mean? It's that simple.
Not just Trenton either. I mean, get involved in your kids' education. Ask them what's going on. It's not, you know.
No, this is not just isolated to Trenton, unfortunately. This is our school system, and it's being seen time and time and over and over and over again, whether it's the teacher with the water gun pointing it at a picture of Trump on a projector and pulling the trigger and screaming, die, or, the other teacher with her anti-Semitic remarks that she had, the Muslim teacher.
Funny you should say that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this thing is happening across the board, and it's the liberal indoctrination of our children, and this is what's causing the problems at U of M or Berkeley with the we need segregated safe spaces now. They don't know how to handle themselves any longer. They don't have the coping skills to handle adversity or loss. And part of it's, you know, for a lot of the millennials, you know, since Obama has been pretty much their president from the time they came of age, they've never experienced political loss, so they don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
So while my heart goes out to them, at the same time, they need to use a little bit of logic, stop the protesting and the craziness, because it's not solving anything. We need to come together as Americans, be able to talk about the issues.
Right. So, Derek, let's talk about this. It was a preschool teacher. And let me, it doesn't happen the minute they step into college. It's the 14 years of high school, elementary and junior high, that turn these kids into college before they even get there. They're already turning into just these crazy kids, right? Play track one, Derek. This is about the Muslim preschool teacher who was fired for the anti-Semitic remarks that you just talked about.
Arlington preschool teacher out of a job tonight. This after being accused of posting anti-Semitic remarks on social media. The comments were first exposed by a watchdog group.
The Jewish community is responding to those tweets. Our Jack Fink is in studio right now sharing this part of the story. Well, Kaylee and Doug, the Jewish group Stand With Us expressed outrage about the remarks. And I want to warn you, the tweets are graphic. The Arlington Preschool, the Children's Courtyard, says it fired teacher Nancy Salem after thoroughly investigating her tweets. Among those identified by the watchdog group Canary Mission, one in which she said, "Gassed a Jew, I'm sweating, Heil." In another, she asked, "How many Jews died in the Holocaust? Not enough, ha ha ha." A third, "Kiss the Palestine ground for me and kill some Jews." We stopped by Salem's house, but no one came to the door, and she hasn't returned our call.
Absolutely disgusted.
Jesse Stock is the Southern Regional Coordinator for Stand With Us, an Israeli education organization that corrects misconceptions about the Jewish state.
It's absolutely unacceptable to spread anti-Semitism and lies and racism. It's dangerous, it's irresponsible, and we have an obligation to stand up against that type of speech.
In a statement, the Children's Courtyard said, "Providing a safe, nurturing, and inclusive learning environment is of the utmost importance to us. The offensive comments certainly don't reflect our views. Our employees are expected to uphold certain standards of personal and professional conduct." The group Canary Mission, which documents hatred aimed at Israel, Jews, and the U.S., reported Salem was an activist at UT Arlington's chapter of the Students for Justice in Palestine.
Okay. So, obviously, vile, nothing on the level of what you're going through, but it is out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy that, you know, we have to even think about somebody saying that, you know, and that's a teacher. Really?
Mm-hmm.
And come on. Let's take a quick call from Joe in Wyandotte. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Hey, Ash, it's Joe. We're both Jeff Jones for Congress supporters, so we know each other. This goes to conservatives, our failings. For decades, we haven't paid any attention to school board elections, and you talked about taking it to the school board. Well, that's pretty useless, too, because we just keep letting the teachers' unions pick cronies to go onto the school board and support them and pack the school boards, and we usually lined up with one, maybe two conservatives at best ever on the school boards. They hire these superintendents who are generally nothing more than tenured teachers with contractual right of return to the classroom should they be fired for being a pathetic superintendent who then spend all their time negotiating better contracts for teachers thereby themselves. And the cycle just repeats. It's just all cronyism, left-wing liberal cronyism, and we fail to exert any real pressure and control over it.
Yeah, well, the pressure, Joe, comes from you calling into the show, Ash coming into the show. And I don't know, is it the News Herald downriver anymore? Is that the paper for downriver?
Still the News Herald.
Okay,
yeah,
so,
the Heritage.
Yeah, get hold of the people at Heritage, and I'm not sure how liberal they are at this point, but I'm assuming they probably are a tad more liberal because media isn't, right?
Fake news.
Yes, fake news. Well, that's one reason The Current, the paper that I do, has grown so much, you know, 500% in the last 10 years. Why? Because we have a conservative viewpoint, and it's the only paper that I even know of in the state of Michigan. The Detroit News wants to call itself conservative, please. You know, that's not a conservative paper by any stretch of the imagination. But you know what? Take that next step, and I would tell, if you don't get it, hit the newspaper hard down there with it. See if they'll give you a guest editorial.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to see this through until I feel that, you know, the problem is resolved and it's not going to continue to happen, not just for my children, but for all children
right
across this country. This is a problem and this is something that has to stop.
Yeah.
So I don't see the fight stopping anytime soon.
Good.
Yeah, we could talk all we want about eliminating the Department of Education. That's, again, just one step. These local school boards exert still too much authority and pressure, and a lot of this indoctrination and garbage that we see, other than just the rewritten history in the supposed history books, we need to encourage kids to go to the old libraries, not the new ones, the old ones, in the old book section and dig up the history books from the 50s and 60s from when the history was being written at the time and was realistic before it all turned into Howard Zinn rewritten garbage, to do some studying. But a lot of it is under the misnomer of reading comprehension.
Yeah.
If you notice that,
yeah,
they will introduce literally pornographic garbage.
Yeah. All right, well, Joe, Joe, we're at the end of the...
In the name of reading comprehension.
Joe,
we're at the end of the hour. Thanks for the call, Joe. I appreciate it. Call in next week, and we'll continue this discussion. We'll see all of you on the other side of the break.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Fayrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. Democrats in Atlanta picking their next party chair for the rebuilding process after the election. One favorite, Tom Perez, Secretary of Labor in the Obama White House.
Into hope. We are the party that turns doubts into dreams. We're the party of inclusion and opportunity, and we make sure inclusion and opportunity is in every zip code for everyone.
Perez with support among the party establishment. Another frontrunner, Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison.
You are the ones who can bring comfort to people fearing a ban or a wall or losing their Social Security. The people who are worried about losing their health care.
Ellison, the first Muslim elected to Congress. The committee fails to choose a new leader and the first ballot voting continues. Republicans today wrapping up their conservative political action conference in National Harbor, Maryland, near Washington. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The highest quality tractor in the U.S. and number one in customer satisfaction for 2015 and again in 2016 is LS Tractor, both awarded by EDA. This is Mark at Ashelman Equipment. We have a full line of LS four-wheel drive diesel tractor loaders ready to go. Forks, blades, tillers, plows, and mowers in stock, ready for all your projects. Subcompact to large farm, open or cab with heat and AC. Hydro transmissions make driving fun and easy for the whole family. Attachments are changed with just a pull of a lever. Highest quality, more features standard, 5-year warranty, free loader, and 1.59% financing qualifying. Ashelman Equipment in Whitmore Lake is at exit 50 on US 23, just north of Ann Arbor. Call 734-994-6000. That's 734-994-6000.
It's 2017. If you're thinking about investing in your house, now is the time. Check out woodrehab.com or call 248-506-6175. Use this year's tax refund to spruce up your house. And what better way than upgrading your tired kitchen cabinets? Wood Rehab can give your kitchen cabinets a new look at a great price. Don't replace them. You can paint or refinish without emptying your cabinets in this very non-intrusive process, which averages 7 days from start to finish. Call 248-506-6175. Ask for Dave. WoodRehab.com will give you 10% off if you mention this ad. 2017 is a great year. Get it started with a brand new kitchen. Call 248-506-6175 or go to the web at WoodRehab.com and get your kitchen renovation started today.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton. Just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I am a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ed Bondarenka.
Hey.
And Ash Hampton.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, so we're going to move on a little bit, but let's take care of a little business. ClavesMarina.com. Boat show just ended, and if you're looking for a new boat with spring, it seems like the ice is gone from just about all the lakes. We're going to have an early spring. So get your boat show special pricing at clavesmarina.com, or you can call them 734-426-4532. And that's on McGregor Road, just south of Pinckney there. So it's on Portage Lake, as I recall. Claves Marina, K-L-A-V-E-S, marina.com. Check out their boat show pricing. Give them a call and see. Some of these new boats are just absolutely fabulous. 734-426-4532.
Middle of February, there are boats out on the lake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man.
We've already had boats on Whitmore Lake, so it's crazy. Well, let's take a call from Jimmy in Manchester, who wants to get in on the Trenton controversy. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing? You know, the problem is that teacher didn't think she did anything wrong, and I don't think the administration does either.
No, not at all.
And what kills me is, you know, I have someone very close to me lost her job because of something she posted on Facebook that was benign. It was nothing. It was just a...
It wasn't kill the Jew stuff.
It was just... No. Certainly not.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No. It was actually very Christian. And that's why she...
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Well, it's because the left is the, you know, they're the party of tolerance, but they're the most intolerant people you'll ever meet. Let's be very honest about it. You know, they call us a bigot, but they have zero tolerance for our ways, our thoughts, or our process. They don't, you know, it's irrelevant to them. They live in dreamland.
Isn't Facebook free speech and not on the time of the people that you're working for?
Well, there's something to be said. Jimmy, I thought about that when we were talking about earlier the teacher, the preschool teacher, killed the Jews. She didn't say it on company time. She said it on her own time. But it's just, man, it's just too outrageous.
Yeah, you have to, at some point, if you are a teacher, you have to live your life by a certain standard, too. You know what I mean? Because you are in charge of frankly, you're indoctrinating our children. Let's hope that you are an all-around good person without those vile precepts. You know what I mean? And
morals used to be part of the job.
Yeah. It should be. What else you got,
and
Jimmy?
It still can be sometimes. You know, my mother's an educator, and she's a wonderful teacher, and she cares awfully, you know, she cares greatly about her children. And I've seen her cry over the children that have been having struggles and problems and how can I help them. And, you know, and she teaches in River Rouge, Michigan. And, it, you know, that's a very tough place and a tough demographic.
It really is. My dad lived there, yeah. But, you know, what I meant was morals used to be a demand of the job. Man, if you were caught, well, let's say sleeping around or whatever, you know, you were gone because of the impression on the children that was made.
But we can still demand it. It's just we need to put people in school boards that'll actually listen to the public and answer to the public. This is a publicly funded school, meaning we pay them, they should answer to us, and they should carry themselves accordingly.
Right.
But if we don't stand up and do it, then nothing's ever going to change.
Yeah. Well, what else you got, Jimmy? Anything?
I don't know. It's just that's one of those slippery things that I think people should have the right to their own opinion off of the time of the school. If they're not preaching that in the school, and it's really not anybody's business what somebody thinks outside of that school setting. I guess it's the libertarian in me that believes that.
Your friend's dismissal sounds actionable, really. I mean, that really does sound like a good case for a lawsuit.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for the call, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You too. And we lost August on the phone call. Call back in if you want to get your comments in. But it leads to what, and it's funny you mentioned, you know, our colleges, because the U of M this week, right? U of M, University of Michigan students demand a no whites allowed space to plot social justice activism. When I read this story out of the U of M, I thought to myself, what would Martin Luther King think about these students of color at the U of M saying, we want a color-only space, we don't want any whites coming in here. He died to stop segregation, and these people are going right back. Now they want to be segregated.
Well, think of the Freedom Riders, you know? The Freedom Riders back in the 60s who were white, who went and rode the buses with the blacks and were hosed and beaten, and you know, the dogs were sicked on them. Heck, Viola Liozzo was a friend of my dad in school. And, you know, she died. She was white supporting blacks. And now it's like, oh, whites aren't good enough?
Yeah. When I hear these stories, you hear them all over the place. For it to hit as close to home as here, in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor, U of M. I hope U of M has the common sense and the guts, frankly, to stand up and say, you know what, there are no spaces based on color, folks. That's what the president of U of M should come out and say. There are no spaces on campus based on the color of your skin. I'm sorry. If you feel that way, get out.
You're right.
This is exactly what Martin Luther King preached against. And, you know, at what point are we as Americans going to come together, regardless of where you come from, how much is in your bank account, the color of your skin, and judge men based on the content of their character?
Yeah.
I mean, the simple fundamental of what Martin Luther King had to teach. And we've totally walked away from it. And, you know, you expect this out of UC Berkeley. You expect it from that liberal indoctrination, liberal institution. You know, you're starting to come and hit a little bit home when you're at the University of Michigan and this is happening. And not to mention, this is actively against the Civil Rights Act. You are now trying to basically segregate white people away from people of color, and we're the bad people and we're the bigots constantly. And we're, you know, if you support Trump, you're a racist and you're this and you're that. And if you supported Mitt Romney when he was going up against Obama, I was called a racist daily. And it's like, no. I don't judge people based on the color of their skin.
Skin, right.
I judge them based on who they are as individuals, how they present themselves, how they carry themselves. You know, I've seen it when I was in the Marine Corps. I seen a young private get berated for talking too intelligently, and he was called, and his exact word was he was called a zebra by a man of his same color. And I came to that Lance Corporal. I said, Lance Corporal, why are you calling him a zebra? Well, because he sounds too white. No, because he carries himself with an educated appeal to the people around him.
Oreo. Yeah. We used to call him Oreos.
Yeah, that's just terrible. Yeah. That because somebody speaks grammatically perfect English, you call him a name? Are you kidding me?
Well, that happens to kids in high school.
Well, that goes back to our education system. Everybody should be speaking technically perfect English. I'm sorry. It's English.
They're not even teaching cursive in school no more, though. So, I mean, let's be honest. How do you even sign a legal document or a paycheck or anything like that? They're not teaching fundamentals. They're teaching you how to be ill-equipped for life. They're teaching you to cry and whine and stomp your feet to get your way instead of taking some logic, letting your emotions die down. We all get emotional over politics. I mean, I know I do, but I surely don't go out in public until I've had time to simmer down, think about it.
Right.
And then come up with a logical course of action.
Wow, I like that idea.
You would think.
Common
logic,
sense.
Right?
Common sense.
Let's take a call from Walter in Belleville. Walter!
Oh, it's about time.
Good to hear you, man. We thought you'd
disappeared. Where
you been? Man, I've been making inroads on the Black Communist Station, 910.
Oh, okay. Well, it's nice talking to you again, Walter.
Well, there you go. At least you're doing your part, Walter. Right? You're carrying the fight forward from Wham.
Oh, man, I love it. I'll be like, in fact, one of the guys banned me from his show because I was coming on so
again?
Strong.
Again? The most banned man in radio.
Yeah.
And then during Christmas time, he was in the Christmas hyped-up spirit. All of a sudden, he let me back on there. And then after the Christmas was over, he went back to his evil ways. But, look, you guys are hitting on a real powerful subject, man. You know, this we're identifying people, and this is, you know, what I find out to be true nowadays is, you know, the stereotypes and all of that. I can care less about stereotypes. But I noticed that the whites are starting to show up late for work, and the blacks are starting to come to work earlier. You remember that one?
Because
you were black. In my world, my job, even the whites show up late. You see how this
that goes to our educational system. Kids should be, you know, if you show up late for class, are you getting the tardy marks? Are you getting sent to the office? Are you being punished in some fashion or other? You know what? Being prompt and on time is probably one of the first things you're supposed to learn in school, right? Show up on time. You're tardy. I'm telling your mom or you're going down to the principal's office. Being tardy meant something in school at one time.
Well, children don't have accountability in the schools anymore. They don't have accountabilities a lot of times, though, in the homes. We live in a different time, and we need to start teaching morals and respect and work ethic, to be quite honest with you. We need to teach real work ethic to these children.
Yeah.
And part of that is also, you know, taking pride in yourself and who you are, and also being able to have an opinion. And that doesn't happen either.
Yeah.
Wow, are you a radical?
I'm radically full of common sense.
That's right. What else you got, Walter?
I go as far as tell on that station, just ran by a bunch of blacks. I think the guy that the president or owner of station is a white guy. He allows them to vent out and hate on white people nonstop. They get the same callers calling in every day, and they're like magnets. They draw the black racists, especially out of Detroit, to their show because they do not confront them when they call in there with racist statement. I have to call in there and refute everything they say and call them out for not calling out those black racists.
Yeah,
talk about white supremacy nonstop.
Yeah, but you know what, Walter? They're fulfilling a free market niche, right? So there's obviously a market for people who are racist, and if they're catering to that group, well, then that's on them.
And
you know what
was,
I mean?
If WHAM was an all racist white station, FCC had shut us down.
Shut us down in a heartbeat.
Well, it's just the same as something as simple as black entertainment television. Imagine if I started a white entertainment television. It's you want your cake and you want to eat it too. You either have racist opinions or you don't, right? But to them, a lot of times, and of course, I'm only speaking as a white male. A lot of times I'm told I'm a racist for my thoughts or my viewpoints when I have complete tolerance for people depending on nothing more than the content of their character. But so often I'm told, you know, well, you're a racist because of white privilege, and you're a racist because of this, or you're a racist because of your political views. And no, that's not it.
You're white. I'm sorry. It's your white privilege.
You know, but if you say, well, you know, you're being kind of racist to me. Oh, no, blacks can't be racist. Well, no, that's not true. Racism comes in every shape and form. And it's something that's not talked about a lot of times, and people like me, we're afraid to talk about it because it's a hard issue, and we don't want to be called racist for the umpteenth millionth time.
Yeah.
So, Walter, what's it like?
Listen, guys, do not give in to that foolishness.
Yeah.
And I go as far as when I call that radio show, I said, okay, guys, I'm going to take it a little further. I don't believe in this Black History Month stuff. I said, why don't we just call it American History? It's like, it's always got to be the blacks trying to prove a point. It's like, hey, we already know it. We get it. It's Martin Luther King's month or this Black History Month, but let's stop calling it Black History Month. Let's call it American History Month. I said, what would it be, just like you just said, I said, what would it be if we reversed that scenario and said White History Month? I said, all hell to break loose. Jesse West, the Cameron Jackson, to start coming out protesting Al shriveled up Sharpton and start coming out. And I say, by the way, every time Al Sharpton tells a lie, he loses another pound.
So Walter. Walter.
So, Walter, for your views, let's not just talk about the way people speak in high school, but let's talk about you and the way that, you know, you speak your conservative heart. So do people call you a zebra or an Oreo because of that? Do you get hit with that?
No, they call me the typical term, Uncle Tom, but they got one they call in people that endorsed, blacks that endorsed Donald Trump and voted for him, they call them coons.
Wow.
That is outrageous.
That is the most outrageous. Walter, I don't know how you
that
control
doesn't even
yourself,
make
Walter.
Sense, really.
You know, this is all by design, though, right? I mean, this is exactly, you know, the Democratic Party. My grandfather was a lifelong Democrat and loved his country. And he'd be the first to tell you, you know what? You don't like this country? There's a plane leaving every minute, and I'll help you pack your bags. And this is something that, you know, came from somebody who was lifelong Democrat. And so you start looking at it and you look at this progressive movement. And what is progressivism? Well, it's really communism, and it's hidden. It's hidden in a pretty dress, so to speak. And Karl Marx talked about this rebrand, rebrand, rebrand. Divide, divide, divide. Put everybody in boxes. So today in this country, we are divided by poverty levels. We are divided by color of skin and different demographics. We're divided by educational standards. We're divided by gender identification. It's we are all in our little boxes. Well, you know, I'm pretty sure that Abraham Lincoln said that a house divided amongst itself cannot stand. Right. So when are we going to, as Americans, come together and just look at our flag and pay tribute to the people that created the land and the opportunity that we live in today? It doesn't happen, and it needs to.
Unfortunately, the gospel, according to Rodney King, is not working. Okay?
Yeah.
It's all because Democrats, I tell them all the time when I call that station, I say, first of all, the Democratic Party was birthed out of the pits of hell. When they first started, when they first formed, it came straight from hell. They ain't going to change. You're talking about a leopard can't change his spots. They ain't going to never change until they start seeing it our way. You guys know that they promote evil in their agenda. They promote murdering babies. I constantly remind them of that. You promote the sin of sodomy, homosexuality, which is abomination to God. You promote
In fact, you guys talking about you want reparations. I tell you what, the people that you want reparations from are dead. And you need it. And by the way, you need to get it from your party who promoted the racism.
Yeah,
and the,
yeah, well, there's the key.
They were the party.
That's
of
what
slavery.
Most people
yep.
forget. It was the Democrats who fought to keep blacks in slavery. You know what I mean?
I saw that movie.
Johnson was one of the most racist presidents of all time, and there's plenty of situations where you can quote him saying he'll have people of color voting for him for the next, 200 years. Except for he did not use people of color there; he used a far more graphic word. And I mean, this is who they were. We forget so often that it was Abraham Lincoln, a Republican, who freed the slaves. We so often forget that the Republicans have always been about free opportunity for all. The Republicans were the ones that were on the side of the Union when it came to the Civil War. Yeah. These are things that aren't taught in schools anymore. We don't teach true history. We teach opinions.
I was so shocked when I saw that movie Lincoln a few years ago, how here's a big Hollywood production, very celebrated, and it's pointing out the fact that it was the Democrats who were promoting slavery, and it was the Republicans who were opposed.
The Democrats founded the KKK. I mean, let's be very, very honest here.
I went to work after that, and I'm talking to a black guy that I worked with. I told him about the movie, and I told him, and of course it was something that Lincoln, it was pointed out that Lincoln, Republicans, anti-slavery, says, Lincoln was a Republican?
Well, there's a college that actually has a quote from Abraham Lincoln, and then underneath it, it says Democrat. And when the college was asked about it, he says, well, he's Democrat in thought. No, he was not.
Yeah.
He was the founder of the Republican Party.
Or Dinesh's movie where it shows Lincoln's picture in their headquarters.
Yeah. All right. Well, Walter, thank you so much, man. Appreciate your – don't be so long next time. Make sure you get back and listen to us and talk to us a little bit more.
I think I'll have more time these extra Saturdays we get on this side of eternity.
You got it. And we're moving to 1 o'clock next week, Walter, so there you go.
1 o'clock. Good. Okay, great.
1 o'clock. All right, take care. We'll see you.
Bye, guys.
Now if we just heard from Mike.
Maybe. We'll see. Well, let's kind of change gears here a little bit. Last week we hit the fake news quite a bit, and this week the craziest of crazy things, and she's gotten a whole lot of backlash. You probably heard this from Mika Brzezinski, right? It's Morning Joe, MSNBC. Derek, you got track 2 ready there? There's two things I want to get
from
to.
From all the Trump supporters that I talked to who were Trump voters and are still Trump supporters, they go, yeah, you guys are going crazy. He's doing, what are you so surprised about? He's doing exactly what he said he's going to do.
Well, and I think that the dangerous, edges here are that he's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts. And it could be that while unemployment and the economy worsens, he could have undermined the messaging so much that he can actually control exactly what people think. And
that is our job. What? So they just came out and admitted that the media thinks it's their job, right, to make us think what they want us to think.
Well, the sheep. That's what they want us to be. They want us to be sheep.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, like, we're smart enough to know the media now is fake news. And if it's not fake news, they're twisting in a way to make us think and act the way they want us to. Yeah. That's the ultimate disgrace. I was amazed when I heard it. I thought it was fake
you
news.
Were,
I had to go and
You were amazed
to it.
That you heard it. That's,
well, I mean, this is what the media does so often. I mean, they run their agendas, and the masks have been coming off. They've been in full meltdown for some time. I mean, you take this back to the beginning of the Trump candidacy when it was just speculative that he was going to run, and they ran every time they could. They laughed at people who said we're going to support Trump. And if you look, there's plenty of YouTube videos out there. You can find it where, it shows, 5, 6, 8 minutes of all the different stations and their coverage of Trump laughing. Yes, please run. We want you to run. Right. It's going to be great. Oh, we're going to march right into Washington. This is going to be so easy for Hillary. And the truth be told is it's completely the opposite of that. And now we are at a point where, they don't know how to handle themselves. They, too, have drinking the Kool-Aid that so many of the millennials do, or the snowflakes, as we like to call them now, do. And they don't know how to handle it. They don't. So the masks are coming off, and they're in full meltdown mode. They just don't know what to do. They don't know how to take Trump. And he's going so fast, their heads are spinning.
Yeah. And it's not just the fake news. And it's sometimes it's the stuff that they're not covering. And this next track is something I don't know that anyone's heard this. I didn't hear it anywhere except on Fox Business News. Derek, you got track 3 ready? This was huge, and yet I didn't hear it on ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN. Heard it nowhere except on Fox. I didn't even hear it on Fox. I heard it on Fox Business News. And this is Maria Bartiromo talking about three people that were fired, IT workers from Congress. Go ahead and play this.
Three congressional IT, information technology, IT employees have been fired for accessing members' computer networks without permission. Maria's on the show, knows more about this. Can you fill me in a bit?
Here are their names, Stuart. Let me tell you what the three people who were fired on Thursday. Abid, Imran, and Jamal Awan. They were barred from computer networks at the House of Representatives on Thursday because they accessed congressmen and congresspeople's computer networks unauthorized. At a minimum, they were fired. They haven't been arrested yet. At a minimum, we know that they accessed computers unauthorized. And they did so in foreign intelligence, foreign affairs, and intelligence committees. Okay, so they were getting very important information, government information. They accessed these computers. That is the least of it. There's also some talk that people are looking into what ties they have to terrorism. Are they impacted by the Muslim Brotherhood? Are they a part of the Muslim Brotherhood? One of them has a criminal background. Couple of questions here. Why? How is it possible that three brothers are hired, Muslim brothers, I'm just saying, to work in Congress and deal with our most intelligent and sensitive information, number one? They were all making $160,000. Why were they paid so much? 22 years old, one of the guys was. The other was 25. They're making $160,000, $161,000, and $165,000. And one of them has a criminal background. How does this happen?
Devil. I didn't hear what you're saying. I mean, these intelligence committees handle our terror strategies, right?
They got information on Benghazi, by the way.
And it looks like they also work for many Democrats in these House.
Good God.
They are thinking that maybe they could be also one of the people, one of the reasons that Debbie Wasserman Schultz's account
got hacked.
Yeah. So there's so much more to come on this, Stu. This is an incredible story. I think it's amazing.
All right, so that's like from a week ago. Have you heard this?
No,
I
haven't.
Both look a little surprised. You heard it
was on a news feed on, because I get the Fox News feed in a widget on my desktop. And so I did read about it there, and a friend of mine brought it up on her blog. Same point, brought it up that, hey, nobody's talking about this except Fox.
Yeah.
And when you Google it, there aren't any other indications.
There's nothing on CNN. There's nothing anywhere. This should be the biggest story of the month. There's Fox, there's blogs, and there's Fox.
Well, they're so busy trying to go scorched earth with Trump and anything that President Trump does that they don't have time to pay attention to real news. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Number one, I don't know how you get a job. How did you pass clearance, number one, right? How did you get Hillary Clinton can't get clearance technically. How did these three guys, one of them's got a record, get in? Three Muslim brothers, and then the $160,000 a year. I thought our congressman only made $170,000 a year. Who are these three IT guys, 20-year-old kids, making $160,000 a year?
Well, you know, I'm curious what the median income is in the government because, you know, for positions like that. Oh, darn. Because of how expensive it is to live in the D.C., Virginia area.
Yeah, well, the bloated bureaucracy mm-hmm. that is Washington, D.C., the swamp.
Yeah.
You know, it'll continue to grow if we don't, you know, keep checks and balances on that. But that's $160,000 a year.
Yeah, crazy. All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in. Ash, Ed, good to see you both again. And we'll have you on again. It was a good show.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks for having me.
Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. That's the news.
Next week when?
You need to know. Next week at 1 o'clock. Yep. Next week at 1 o'clock, we're being live. All right. Until next week, we'll see you. Go to thedailydrift.com. Take care.